Genesis chapter 1, I'll give you a few minutes to find that because I know it'll be hard. But I'll talk. I don't know when. I know this happened to me. When I was younger and I didn't have any responsibilities, I wanted to help my dad. I wanted to help my mom because they weren't my responsibilities. I wanted to help. I can do it. And I wanted to feel big. Is that what they say? I'm big. I can do it. But then when I got to where I could do stuff like, you're responsible for taking out the trash, I don't want to do it anymore. It was like, oh! Now that it was actually my responsibility, I didn't like it. And if it gets warm back there, fellas, y'all can turn the AC up or whatever. I'll let y'all watch. But anyway, you know, it was like when I didn't have responsibilities, I wanted some. But then when I got some, I didn't want them, you know. I don't know if that happened to you. It did happen to me. But that's what we're going to talk about today is our responsibility. I'll read this opening statement in a minute. I'll go ahead and read it now. God, according to the Bible, God made all things, and then he made all things possible. So in other words, he made everything that there was to be made, and then he gave us that free will, and gave us the responsibility, and we're going to see it here in just a second, and he made it possible for all things, but he didn't make all things happen. In other words, it's not his will that any should perish, but he didn't make us all get saved. He put some responsibility on us. Now, it's not of works, but we do have some responsibilities. And so all we're going to see today is our responsibility, and there's no way that I can cover all of our responsibilities today. But I just picked out a few, and again, I've said this before, but I won't tell you how many because you'll get discouraged and you'll say we're going to miss lunch. But I will go through most of these pretty quickly. But we do have some responsibilities, and so the word responsibility means the quality or state of being responsible. And so, you know, again, when you have some responsibilities, you're supposed to be responsible enough to fulfill them. At school, here's your assignments, here's your homework. You're responsible for doing them, keeping up with them, turning them in. Don't let your dog eat it. All right, whatever excuse you used, my excuse was I didn't do it. But anyway, that responsibility and your report card—that's what it was doing. It was reporting your responsibility or your lack of responsibleness. All right, and so we see here responsibility is the quality or state of being responsible. And there's several categories you can put it in. You ought to be morally responsible. That's on all of us. The Bible says it. We ought to be legally responsible, or there's consequences. And then we ought to be mentally responsible. And so some other words that go right along with responsibility is accountability, trustworthiness, and some synonyms. And I put them in statements, so I'll read them real quick, and then we'll get to Genesis. The burden's on you. That's what responsibility means. If it's going to get done, the burden's on you to get it done. So that burden's on you. Here's another statement. We have been given the charge. And again, a lot of times we want to be in charge until we're in charge. Then we don't want to be in charge. But we've been given that charge by God. God says, and obviously Paul told Timothy, I charge you. I give you the responsibility. This is what you're going to do. Here's another statement. We have been, or it has been committed to us. Committed to us. God's like, look, I'm giving you this responsibility. I created you. I have a perfect will for you. And here's your responsibilities. They've been committed. It's our duty. Here's another statement. It is imperative or necessary. It's important. That we do our responsibilities. Here's another one. It is our obligation, and there is a need for it to be done. Now we're going to read Genesis 1:26 through 28. We'll see our first responsibilities, and then, of course, we'll go through the Bible and look at some other responsibilities. But Genesis 1:26 through 28. And it says, and God said, let us, talking God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three of them were there. Let us, here it is, make man in our image, So that's why if it matters to us, it matters to the Master, because He made us like Him. Now we're supposed to grow, be saved and grow and become more like Him. That's one of our responsibilities. But we were made in His image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Again, we're in charge over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing and that creepeth upon the earth. My wife went to get a shower last night. She says, "Hey, come here." I'm like, "Oh." So, you know, I walk back there, and there's like four ants in the shower. And she's like, "That's your responsibility." So here I am, like, you know, she's not even going to get in there, because if she gets bit by one, she blows up. Like, but anyway, I had to kill that creepy thing, and I had dominion. All right, and they went down the drain. I'm not sure where they went after that. Verse 27, "And God created man in His own image, and in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." Amen. And God said, "Bless them." And God said unto them, here it is, here's our responsibility. He made us. "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And so there is our first responsibilities. We see here that God gave us some responsibilities. Now, in His, charge to us, or in His telling us where we came from, He said here we were to be in His image. So that's one of our responsibilities. We're supposed to be like God here on this earth so people can see God in us. And so, of course, that will give us the opportunity to be the salt and the light. So we're supposed to be like Him. Then He gave us dominion. Praise the Lord, over fish. I like catching them. I like eating them. Over the fowl. I like shooting them. I like eating them. Over the cattle. I let the butchers do that, but I like eating them. And then it says here, over all the earth. And then this creepy thing, I'd be all right with none of that, okay? You know, I don't like snakes. You know, I've told you this before, but, you know, I just kill them all. Because I never can remember the little sayings. That kind of snake keeps away the poisonous snake. Okay, fine. And so I have dominion, and so I can kill them. The red and yellow and black and yellow and all that stuff, I always mess that up, and so I just kill them both, coral snake or rat snake. But here's another responsibility right there in His image. Not only are we supposed to be like God, we're supposed to have dominion, but then it says here, men be men and women be women. That's our responsibility. And again, I know the world's going crazy with that right now. But according to God and His Word, I don't hate anybody. God doesn't hate anybody. God hates sin, and I don't like it. But we see here that our responsibility is man be man. And again, I raised two boys. Didn't get the privilege of raising a little girl. But, you know, again, this is just me. You can do what you want. When I saw my boy come through the house with his mama shoes on, get them off. All right. Boys don't wear heels. All right. We don't do that. And if they ever sashayed instead of strutting, All right. Boys, you know, I don't guess you have to strut, but you know, at least walk. Don't sashay. All right. Or prance or do it. Anything. I was like, look, I'm raising boys. Why? Because He says here, men be men, women be women. And obviously, if we did have a girl, I let their mom do all that. It's tough. I know some of you dads that do have daughters, you know, y'all had that privilege, and so you can do hair. All right, you can do. Maybe you can help them with their makeup. Maybe you don't put it on yourself. But anyway, we see here that's our responsibility. And then it goes on to say that we're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. But God has order. Okay, now again, I think a lot of this world has skipped this order. But He says, be fruitful and multiply. But according to the Bible, you're supposed to be married before you multiply. Okay? And then you're supposed to marry a Christian. And Where's that in the Bible? Okay, glad you asked. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And so, again, he has an order. We're not supposed to just be fruitful and multiply without being married and things like that. But that's just right there in the beginning of the Bible. So our responsibilities, first of all, we see we're supposed to live in God's image, in His likeness, be like God, have dominion over this earth. Men be men, women be women. Marry and replenish this earth. So that was right there in the beginning of the Bible. Now, we're going to look real quickly at the several that I have here. And some of these, you'll be, yep. And some of these, you're like, oh, I never thought about it like that. Probably. All right? So we're going to look at one. Number one, the first thing after this, that's our responsibility, the Bible says in Philippians 2:12, if you're writing verses down, Philippians 2:12 says this, wherefore, my beloved, and God loves us all, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And all of us, we have that battle right there. When mom and dad's looking, we're perfect little angels. They look the other way, go out of the room, even go to the store. We become perfect, or not perfect, but mean little demons. So, but they would have rather you live like a perfect little angel even though they weren't looking. So here's one of our responsibilities as a Christian. God says, first of all, I'm always looking. There's never a time that I'm not looking. So live like perfect little angels. Obviously, we know that He's went back to heaven. It says here, here's our responsibility. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Everybody in this room, including me, it's our responsibility for us to get saved. God wants you to get saved. It's not His will that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. But it's up to you to do it. Now, not work for it, not buy it, not live good enough to earn it. No, no, no. We have to accept it, but we have to do some things. This is our responsibility. So we see that Jesus made it possible, like that statement I read a while ago. Jesus created all things. Then He made it possible for all things to exist or to come about. But then He gave us the responsibility. Jesus came, Luke 19:10. Jesus said, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. So again, none of us could have worked out our own salvation if He hadn't come first. He came to be born of a virgin, live 33 and a half years of a perfect life, be tempted in all points just like we, yet without sin. Die on that cross, go to that grave, conquer death, hell, and the grave, resurrect, and ascend back to heaven to make it possible for us to be saved. But He's not going to get saved for us. He's not going to make us get saved. He's going to give us the choice. So Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. It also says in 1 John, not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16, that Jesus laid down His life for us. So He made it possible. He doesn't want any of us to die and go to hell. The Bible says in Isaiah, by His stripes we were healed. He made it possible. Here's another one. Not only did He come to seek and to save that which was lost and lay down His life, He also shed His blood for us. You start reading in the Old Testament and from Adam and Eve's sin, they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves and God said, that's not going to be acceptable. And He covered them with animal skin. Now, if you think, I know God can do anything, but God didn't just skin that animal alive. Right? It had to be dead, and blood was shed, and He covered them. But then throughout the rest of the Old Testament, He said, take a lamb, a spotless lamb, a perfect lamb, a male lamb, without any blemish, kill them, take that blood, and put it on the mercy seat, and I'll accept that for the forgiveness of your sin. That was a pattern. And what did John say? Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. So He made it possible. He shed His blood. And the Bible says in Romans 3:25 that He shed His blood for us. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So there has to be bloodshed. And Jesus made it possible for us to get saved. We're looking at Jesus' part right now. We're fixing to see our part in a second. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. John 14:6. Jesus wants us to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. There's our responsibility. We have to come to repentance. Now, a lot of people like, you've got to repent of all your sin. I've sinned so much, I can't remember them all. I just have to say, I am a sinner, and I'm sorry for it. All right? And I know I need that blood applied. So we got to do our part. So we see here, if we're not 100% sure we're going to heaven, Jesus made it possible that you can know that. So if you're here today, I don't know everybody's situation. I think everybody would be saved. But if you're not, it's your responsibility to get saved. The Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. You're not promised of tomorrow. So it's your responsibility that once you understand and do it, get saved. Jesus is not going to make us. He made it possible, made the way, but He gives us a choice. So here's our responsibility on that salvation thing. Because we read, work out your own salvation. You don't get saved because your buddy did. It's not a two-for-one special. Everybody has to be saved. So Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. So here's our responsibility. How do I get saved? Well, first of all, you've got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. What that verse is saying is, you have to say with your mouth, verbally, that you believe Jesus was God's Son. You believe He died on the cross for you. You believe He rose again to conquer death, hell, and the grave. You have to confess that with your mouth. And then it says here, and believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead. Then thou shalt be saved. So coming up in a couple of weeks, we got Easter Sunday. That's what we celebrate. Resurrection Sunday. So you have to believe in your heart that that happened. Here's our responsibility. Romans in verse 10 says this, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I have to, my responsibility, believe, yes, I believe Jesus Christ was God's Son. Yes, I believe He died and rose again. Yes, I believe that. That's my responsibility. Why? Because the Bible says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath life, going to heaven. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's that simple. Our responsibility is to be saved, go to heaven, be lost, go to hell. So faith and belief is my responsibility. Also, admit and confess is my responsibility. I have to admit that I'm a sinner, okay, and confess that I'm a sinner, and say, you know, there's nobody perfect. I've had people tell me, have you ever sinned? No. Okay. I usually just, you know, this is me. I usually say, you just did. Because you lied. All right? Because there's nobody that can say, I'm perfect. I'm without sin. I'm without spot. I'm without blemish. Everybody. So it's easy. So it's our job to have faith and belief in Jesus. It's our job to admit and confess that we're a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then our third responsibility is to call. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you don't call, you can't be saved. You have to ask God for it. So you have faith and belief in Him. You admit and confess that you're a sinner. And then you call upon Him and ask Him to save you. Then also you have to accept the free gift. And that's found in Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You have to accept that gift. That's our responsibility in salvation. Number two, here's another responsibility we have. All right, not only is it our responsibility to, we have to work out our own salvation, then once that takes place, this is our responsibility. We have to be an obedient Christian. We have to be an obedient Christian. That's our responsibility. Living a Christian life is not going to just take care of itself. It's not going to do it. We saw in Sunday school this morning about our conscience. That helps us. We saw the Word of God. We saw the Holy Spirit. That helps us. But we have to do what our conscience says. We have to do what the Holy Spirit says. We have to do what the Bible says, or we're not obedient. That's our responsibility. And again, that's what my dad told me. Look, dude, there's a door. If you don't want these rules, hasta la vista. Help yourself. But as long as you're under this roof, as long as you put your feet under my table, as long as you eat my food, you're going to obey. It's just your responsibility. And if you don't, there's going to be consequences. All right? And that's what God is. You have to be an obedient Christian. This is the pattern throughout the Old Testament, just like we saw the pattern of the bloodshed, making it possible for us to be saved. You look in the Old Testament, those that obeyed were blessed. Not perfect. Not everything, bed of roses, but they were blessed. Those that disobeyed, there was curses placed on them. Look at the tithe. Obedience, blessing. Disobedience, curse. Obeying the Word of God, blessing. Disobeying the Word of God, curse. Things are not going. So it's our responsibility to obey. We have to obey the commandments of the Lord, and He will bless us. If we disobey them, He will curse us. And we saw this in Sunday school as well, Acts 5:29. We ought to obey God rather than man. Our responsibility is to obey God. Now, there's a bunch of men in this world, or women in this world, humans, that'll say, hey, let's do this. And if it's against this, it's my responsibility to say, no, can't do that. Well, you're a fuddy-duddy, goody-two-shoes, say what you will. My responsibility is to obey God, not you. Well, you think you're better. No, I'm not. You're the one bringing that up. I'm not going there. But I am, with God's help, going to do my responsibility. Obey. Romans 6:12 says this, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. How do you do that? By obeying. If we're not obeying, we're letting sin reign in our mortal body. And the Bible talks about, you know, in the little song, oh, be careful, little feet. There you go. Oh, be careful, little eyes. What you see. Oh, be careful, little ears. It's our responsibility to obey the Word of God and not let sin reign in our mortal body. That you should obey it in the lust thereof. Our responsibility is to obey God and His Word and His Spirit. Our responsibility is not to obey man, not to obey our flesh, not to obey this world's philosophy, not to obey the devil. Our responsibility is to obey God. Number one, our responsibility is to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. Number two, our responsibility is obey God. Number three, we have to pray. The Bible says so. James 4:2. Ye have not because you ask not. Oh, that was my responsibility? I had to ask for it? Even salvation. You have not because you ask not. For whosoever shall call. Oh, I see. I've got some responsibility in this. Yes. So we have not because we ask not. It says here, for what? We are not in God's will because we don't ask Him to show it to us. We don't have God's power in our life because we don't ask Him to give it to us. God doesn't help us out of the messes that we created because we don't ask Him to. You have not because you ask not. It's our responsibility to say, Lord, I blew it again. I'm sorry for this. Please help me. He's not going to just force that on you. He's going, okay, that's okay. 1 Samuel 12:23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. So obviously, a parent ought to pray for his child. A pastor ought to pray for the congregation. A Christian friend ought to pray for his friend. And that's what it says here. Samuel's saying, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should not, or that I should sin against the Lord in the ceasing to pray for you. We have to pray. It's our responsibility. I love our prayer time. We do it in Sunday school. We did it this morning. We do it on Wednesday night. We'll do it again this Wednesday night. And we're commanded. And we ought to be obedient. Our responsibility, work out your own salvation. Be obedient. Pray. Here's the third one. We have to seek God's will. Again, God's not going to give it to you. That's what, when you go to kindergarten, they don't just hand you your 12th grade diploma that day. Say, okay, see ya. No, you have to earn it. It's your responsibility to come back the next day, and the next day, and the next day for 12 years. And then some of us were really glutton for punishment. We went to college. All right? But it was our responsibility. So we see that we're supposed to seek God's will. He's not going to slap us upside the head with it and say, hey, here's your will. No, you have to seek it. All right? Little Tucker back there, when he's playing hide and go seek, those of you that work in the nursery, you know what I'm talking about. He would tell you to go hide before he counts. Why? He's watching. So therefore, he's going to find you immediately after 1, 2, 3. Oh, there you are. Right? That's not it. Okay? He'll learn one day that you got to really go hide. So God's like, look, I'm not going to just force my will on you. You have to seek it. Several verses in the Bible. We'll just mention a few. Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after. All right? And so it's my responsibility to seek after it. And what does He say? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It's my responsibility to go to church all the days of my life. That's seeking God's will. I can hear something preached. I can hear a prayer answered. I can talk to an individual, get iron sharpeneth iron. It's God's will. And then also it says that, behold, the beauty of the Lord. God works it out. He answers the prayer. He blesses the situation. It says here, and to inquire in His temple. I'm going to go ask for it. Matthew 6:33, very familiar. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God's like, look, just seek my will, and I'll give it to you. But it's your responsibility to seek it. Look for it. Our responsibility is not just let life happen. Just going with the flow, man. YOLO. I think that means you only live once. That's probably come and gone and ancient. Amen. That's not in the Bible. We're supposed to seek His will, not just let life happen. We are to do our responsibility seeking His will. Number four, we are to study and to meditate His Word. That's our responsibility. A lot of us just want to go through life not knowing what the Bible says, because then we wouldn't be responsible for doing it. We saw that this morning in the Sunday school lesson about that conscience. That person that doesn't ever hear the Word of God, doesn't ever get saved, is going to die and go to hell and be judged by that Word of God, even though they never heard it. But then there's that person that's heard it, maybe from your baby all the way up. You were in church your whole life. You heard it, but you never obeyed it. You never sought His will. You never studied and meditated on it. Ooh, you're going to be in trouble because we knew better. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. And you say, I know that's Paul talking to Timothy, a preacher talking to a preacher. I get it. But according to the Bible, we're going to see this is one of our responsibilities, is to teach our kids. So if we're going to teach, we need to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'll give you a little an illustration of that. My wife was saved before she was five. In church her whole life. Probably missed maybe one or two Sundays her whole life. I didn't start going to church regularly till I was 17. I got saved when I was 10, but in and out. So she knew the Bible better than me. She knew more than I did. But I was determined that if we had kids, they weren't going to have to go to mommy to find out Bible truth. Why? Because that's my responsibility. I'm the dad. All right? Especially when they were two dudes. So, study to show thyself approved. Joshua 1:8. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It don't just go in there osmosis. We have to study it. We have to read it. We have to meditate on it. And if we do that, then it says here, this book of the law will not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that they may observe to do it according to all that is written therein. This is a tough verse. We got to do everything that book says. For then, okay, if you do your responsibility, study it, meditate on it day and night, hide that word in there, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and thou shalt have good success. Why does everything work out for them? Probably because they're hiding that book in their heart and God's blessing them. Now, it doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect, but gives us a better chance. Psalm 1:2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and doth He meditate day and night. Now, don't get scared. That doesn't mean you have to sit Indian style and go, okay? All right? I don't even know if I could get Indian style. If I got Indian style, I probably wouldn't be able to get out of Indian style. But that's not what it's talking about. Just think about it. Meditate on it. Listen to it. Read it. Try to apply it. 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate upon the things. Give thyself wholly to them, that they profit, or the profiting may appear to all. So I got to meditate and study that. Give myself wholly to it. That's my responsibility. And if I do that, it says profiting may appear. So it's not limited. So if I study the Bible, if I meditate on the Bible, I apply the Bible, when I hang around my wife, it's going to be beneficial to her. Because hopefully I'm going to be living it. Hopefully I'm going to be blessed because of it. So even though, I mean, she does it on her own, but just hanging around me would be beneficial if I'm doing my responsibility. Lo and behold, a kid comes along. If I'm studying this and meditating on this and living by this, hopefully that'll rub off. That's what it says. Blessings will appear to all. Iron sharpeneth iron. If I'm right with that book and living that book, it ought to help my friend. It ought to help this lost world. It ought to help my neighbor. It ought to help. And so if I'm studying it, it's my responsibility. Psalm 119:11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. So not only is it going to help all those other people, it's going to help me. My responsibility. Number one was work out your own salvation. Number two, be obedient Christian. Number three, pray. Number four, seek God's will. Number five was study, meditate, and apply His word. Hide it in your heart. Here's number three. Number six. We have to make right choices. Our responsibility. I think I made a good choice last night. We went out for Miss Hudson's birthday, 80th, by the way. I don't know if she wanted me to tell you that or not. But she went into another generation. Amen. But 80 years old, they gave me a menu. I'm looking at it. I got steak. Good choice. I got mashed potatoes. Good choice. I got a salad. Good choice. And then at the end, I got one of them chocolate delight. Is that what it was called? Anybody know? Remember? They brought like five spoons. All right? Because it was huge. But I made good choices. Now, it didn't help my waistline. That wasn't a good choice for my waistline. But anyway, you make choices every day. It's your responsibility. Somebody, what do you want to do? I don't know. You got some people, they're sitting on the porch. Where do you want to go eat? I don't know. They've been I don't knowing for 2 hours. but anyway, we see we have to make right choices. Bible says, Joshua 24:15, very familiar verse about choices. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods of your father that they served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're dwelling right now. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's our responsibility to make those choices. Parents, you choose what comes inside of your house to influence your kids. Got to be careful with all those screens these days and that screen time. We have to make the right choice. Individuals, we ought to make the right choice of what goes in here. Make a covenant with these things right here, the Bible says. Set no wicked thing before them. We've got to make right choices. Daniel 1:8, He purposed in His heart that He would not defile Himself with a portion of the king's meat. So it's our responsibility to be like Daniel. I'm not defiling myself with alcohol. I'm not defiling myself with any drug. I'm not defiling myself with any bad habit out there that these eyes can do or these hands can touch or things like that. I'm going to purpose my responsibility in my heart. Paul said, "There's one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind, and I press toward the mark of the high calling." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, "Look, we're not bowing. I mean, if our Lord decides not to take care of us, we're still not bowing." They made the right choice. So our responsibility is to work out our own salvation, to be obedient, to pray, to seek His will, to study, meditate, and hide the Word of God, and to make right choices. We got two more, I think, and we'll be done. All right, here's the seventh one. We have to serve God from our hearts if we want rewards. It's our responsibility to balance that thing. And we got the Bible to look at it. We have the Pharisees and the ones that were right with God. Okay, it's our responsibility to balance that thing. The Pharisees, they did what they did to be seen of men. They didn't take their responsibility serious. And when they did what they did to be seen of men, they did some good things. They gave. They prayed. They did some good things, but they got no reward. The Bible says that was their reward. That those people thought they were decent Christians. That's your reward. But if we say, look, it's my responsibility to do what I do from my heart to please God and Him only, to glorify God and Him only. If I can balance that out, if I take my responsibility there, then I will receive rewards. Romans 14:10. For we shall all of us, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So we're all going to do that. It's our responsibility. When the roll is called up yonder, we'll be there. But we're going to have to go to that judgment seat of Christ and give an account. Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself. Not anybody else, but of himself. So it's our responsibility. So our giving, a prayer can be sincere, or it can be a vain repetition, the Bible says, or it can be seen of men. So it's our responsibility to make sure it's sincere. Giving can be sincere, or it can be for vain glory, or to be seen of men. Our responsibility to make sure that giving is to be for His glory. How about this? Servants. Service can be sincere, or it can be for that warm, fuzzy feeling that we get. Or it could be to see them in. It's my responsibility, our responsibility, to make sure it's from a sincere heart. 1 Corinthians 3:12. I'm going to paraphrase here, but you read 1 Corinthians 3:12, it talks about our works. That they're going to be tried by fire. And if it's from, the Bible goes on to say, if it's wood or hay or stubble, in other words, it was to be seen of men, it was for that warm, fuzzy feeling, it was to make me look good, wood, hay, and stubble, going to be tried by fire. If you know anything about fire, wood doesn't last very long. Hay lasts even shorter. Stubble, even shorter. So if we do it, it's our responsibility to make sure that my giving and my praying and my serving is from a sincere heart for His honor and glory. If not, it'll be burned up. Our responsibility. So we see here, so far, what's our responsibility? To work out our own salvation, to be obedient, to pray, to seek God's will, to study and meditate and hide His Word, to make the right choices, to serve God from our heart. And here's the last one. And this only applies to those that are replenishing, multiplying. In other words, you have kids. So in other words, there are some of you in here that one day you will hopefully have kids. But it's our responsibility to raise them. And I'm going to give you some verses. This world tells us, raise them for themselves. Let them have dreams. Let them want to achieve. Let them. And again, nothing wrong with having dreams. Nothing wrong with having achieved. But we want to look at our responsibility this morning. So it's not to raise them for themselves. You be you. You do you. You don't care about God. You just be happy. You get rich. You do this. You whatever makes you happy. If it feels good, do it. That's not our responsibility. Here's another one. It's not our responsibility to create mini-me's. Relive our life through them. That's not our responsibility. You hit that ball! I can do it. Well, you want a cardboard cookie? I'm not supposed to relive my life through them. You know, you got to get some leotards and you got to do this because that's what I did. I was the best. All right? We can't force our life through them again. That's not our responsibility. Not to raise them for themselves, not to raise them for us. Here's what the Bible says. We're supposed to raise them for God. That's why He gave them to us. He put them in your house for a reason. He wants them to grow up under in your life for a reason. But it's our responsibility. It's like, you know, we don't come home from work. When did you get here? You know, oh, there's a baby. No, you know it happened. It was hopefully you're taking care of it. Here's some verses for you. Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, well, responsibility. And He puts it right here. And this verse, oh, I struggled with it. Why? Because I'm a man. I'm tough. I want their work. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Ooh. So we got to learn how to tell them what we're supposed to tell them. But then we're supposed to learn how to make it acceptable. All right? Ooh. Not blessed, God. Most of the time they rebel against that. But it says there, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Ah. So in other words, God says, I'll help. So what they need to see is a heart that loves God. A heart that wants to please God. Somebody that does right, lives by this book, does those other responsibilities, they see it. And a lot of times we won't ever know that any of that impressed them till maybe even years later. Well, Dad always said, Mom always did, but man, they were giving you down the road while you were trying to give it to them. So here's another one, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child. So fathers, don't be provoking. I mean, moms, they're sweeties. Oh, baby, come here. Let me kiss it. Make it feel better. Dad's like, give me my pocket knife. I'll just amputate, you little wuss. Crying like a baby. Praise the Lord for that balance. Amen. And so, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And again, that's a promise from God. And, you know, I've always heard people say, well, you know, I know this preacher's kid that's out in the world. Did like, okay, he may be. She may be. They made choices. But that way didn't depart from them. It's still in there. That conscience is still bothering them. That sleep is not sweet. You train them the way the Bible says, they won't get away from it. They might get away from doing it, but it'll be right there with them. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. And these words, talking about the Bible, which I command you this day, shall be in thine heart. So it's my job to get it in their heart. Okay? Just making them follow a bunch of rules, scaring them, threatening them, that's not going to sustain them. We got to get the same Word of God that changed us in their heart. So we got to pray. We got to do our best. And then it says here, then, doing this, and thou shalt teach them diligently. It's my responsibility to teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk about them when thou risest up. When thou sittest down. And when thou walkest about the way. It's my responsibility. When thou layest down. When thou risest up. Get the Word of God in their heart. It's my responsibility. So we see our, what was that, 8 responsibilities. And there's a ton more. But it's my responsibility to teach my children the Word of God. To be a good example in front of them. To keep them in church. Teach them the importance of it. Pray for them daily. And so if I do my responsibility, and we do have the prodigal, I'll give you one thing to think about here. That dad that sat on that front porch looking down that driveway every day, I bet it was easier to look saying, I didn't provoke. I loved. I prayed. I took them to church. I was the right kind of example. I kept things away from them. If you want to call it shelter, so what? I did my part with God's help. They still went to the hog pen, but I guarantee he could sit there a whole lot easier that day. I did my responsibility. But if he was looking down that road saying, man, I blew it. I never took them to church. I never taught them the Bible. I was a horrible example. Can you imagine sitting there like that? So, somebody taught me this before I had a kid. I was like, that's my responsibility. And so with God's help, we read the Word of God daily. When they got up, when they went down, during the daytime, we would talk about it. We'd point out things. I tried my best not to provoke. I had to practice this. Go to your room. I had to go pray. Because I didn't want to go in there in the flesh. I didn't want to go in there mad. I didn't want to go in there and, you know, I'll pop your head off. Nope. God, help me. What verse do I need to show them? And went in there with a broken heart. Not gritted teeth. Not anger. You disappoint. No. I just love you. But He loves you way more than I do. And I promise you, if you get this in your heart, you'll have a whole lot better life. I can call them both today. They can call me. Hey, we had a great time in church today. Hey, we took your grandkids to church today. Hey, we prayed for this missionary. That's what that's talking about in Proverbs, about how that's it's honor to the parent. But that dishonor, where you have to wait till Thursday when you can call from prison to talk 5 minutes, I'd still do it. Because I still love them. But I a whole lot better get that phone call from, hey, we just got finished church. Hey, we're getting ready to go back to church. Those are a whole lot better phone calls. But if I hadn't have done my responsibility, it would be hard. But I can look in that mirror and say, hey, with God's help, you taught them everything you were supposed to. You were the right kind of example. Were you perfect? Nope. And there were times I had to go to that same room where I would show them in the Bible where the Bible says that I'm not supposed to do that. I would go to that same room and with God's help, I'd say, I'm sorry. I got mad. I hollered at you for embarrassing me. And that was wrong. You're way more important than my testimony. What people think about me. So that's how you do it. That's not provoking. That's loving them. That's my responsibility. So, if you're not saved today, it's your responsibility. Jesus made it possible. If you're not obeying today, you should. If you're not seeking today, you should. If you're not praying today, you should. If you're not making right choices today, you should. If you have kids, you ought to be doing your responsibility. Amen. That's our responsibility. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. And Lord, I know, obviously, we talked about this a lot this week. But I just try to obey you. I don't know which part anybody needs, but you do. So I just ask you to help them, Lord. If they're not making right choices, to start. If they're not seeking and studying, or seeking God's will, help them to start. If they're not studying the Word of God, help them to start. Lord, help them to please raise those kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Train them up. And don't provoke them. And Lord, I just ask you to help us all, Lord, to do our responsibilities in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Brother Erickson leads the invitation. Altar is open. You're welcome to come and pray and ask God for anything you want from Him.